Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Tough Life Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
Welcome along to the latest Kevin Kagan Odyssey. We're looking at Kevin Kagan's book, My Life as an Electric Mouse, published in 2018. And we're up to chapter 10, which is 34% into the book, apparently, Sam.
34.
A third of the way through. And I think this is our 20th episode. We'd like to give the listeners an update on how many predicted episodes there will be of this series. So I think we're aiming at about 60 episodes before it'll be done.
I think that I'm enjoying it.
There's nothing in it that doesn't need to be there.
There's so much. I mean, I know we go on tangents, but there is so much stuff in Kevin Keegan's book. By the way, on the way here to meet today, should we tell the cunters where we're recording this?
Oh, we're allowed to tell them.
We are recording this together in the fair city of Manchester.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
We found some studios that it's sort of halfway. It's sort of halfway between London and Sunderland, nice to get together.
If you want to triangulate the country, it's kind of halfway.
Yeah. So we're here in these studios. Anyway, on the way here on the train this morning, I saw the new paperback edition of My Life as an Electric Mouse, and it's a cracker.
It's got some extra stuff in it.
It's just got a really good cover of a vintage 70s Keegan, which I prefer. Because the first one had him now, but I just prefer it.
Grey haired, distinguished.
Distinguished, Silver Fox Keegan, which is fine, but it looks really cool. The 70s Keegan.
What kit is he wearing?
He's in his sexual prime.
What kit?
Can't quite see because it's head and shoulders. I think it might be England. But he's certainly a mouse in its sexual prime. As you know, mice reach their sexual prime, if you were paying attention in biology at school. Children, we are now going to talk about the the sexual life of a mouse.
Yeah.
Who can tell me when the mouse reaches its sexual prime? Anybody? Dawson?
Is it 6 months, sir?
No, incorrect, Dawson. Stay behind afterwards. Haven't done your reading.
Sorry, sir.
No, it is in fact the age 28. When it is 28 years old, the mouse reaches its sexual prime.
How long did mice live?
We are not talking about normal mice. We are talking about human mice and electric mice.
Has this podcast been tested on mice?
It's been tested on horses.
Multiple horses or just one?
The listeners don't know this because a lot of them, when they get in touch, they go, oh, it's so good. It's so off the cuff. Well, that's where you're wrong. Mm. We'll let you in a little secret. This is not an off the cuff podcast. Everything that we do on all of our podcasts is very carefully and tightly scripted by Andy and myself.
And a team of writers.
Podcast consultants. And once we have a script that we feel happy with, we do what any responsible podcaster, broadcaster, or manufacturer of any goods, household goods, does, and that's test it on horses. Because
down the stables with it.
If a horse can stomach something, then anything can. So we take the script to the local stables and we read it out together in front of the horses. And if the horses are fine with it, then we record it. If the horses start freaking out, or one of them dies, or starts foaming at the mouth, or anything like that, or one of them tries to attack us, which has happened, we go back and we take another look at the script until it's ready.
There's only ever been one adverse reaction from the horse, and that was during the Christopher Timothy episode.
Yeah.
Which had to be severely edited.
Yeah.
Before it was allowed.
I think horses generally have a problem with Christopher Timothy, though. But I think that's what the issue was there.
Word's got around, hasn't it?
Yeah. They don't like him.
Shall we get on to Kevin Keegan? Chapter 10 anyway, it begins, I was in the fast lane of the M25 motorway when the blaring horn told me I had started to drift across the traffic and was in danger of causing a crash.
Oh, heck!
Heckin' fuck! Heckin' fuck, I'm gonna kill us all!
What's happening? I've lost control!
He goes on, I had been driving virtually all day, taking in three different countries and several tanks of petrol.
Oh, he wasn't back to see his fucking back doctor again, was he?
I don't know. I was exhausted, and I'd been dozing off at the wheel when the driver behind me started hooting madly to bring me to my senses. If you've ever been in that position, I haven't, have you?
No.
No? You will know what a horrible feeling it is to hear that noise at 70 miles per hour. I was used to nightmarishly long journeys, as many of us are in football. Oh, this journey's nightmarishly long. Where are we going? Brush your munching glad back.
We're not going back to Yugoslavia again, are we?
Oh, don't make me go back there again. Not the Russian border. This one had taken its toll, and it was frightening to realise how close I had come to putting myself and others in danger. My heart was pounding, and in my zombie-like fatigue, I knew I had to get off the motorway before something terrible happened. This is just setting the scene for what does happen.
I've got to get off the motorway. I've got to find myself a little chef.
I need to get on a B road somewhere and pull over. What I didn't realise at the time was that it was going to turn into one of the worst days of my life. I was coming back to live in England. I don't think that's why it was the worst day of his life. 7 years in Marbella, living the good life in the Spanish sunshine. Jean and the girls had already flown back and were staying with friends in Southampton, probably Laurie McMenemy and Mrs. McMenemy.
Yeah.
I would imagine. I was driving the family's Range Rover filled with our possessions on the final leg of the journey, but I was desperately tired. It was almost 700 miles from Marbella all the way through Spain to the border with France and nearly the same again to Calais. I did manage a little bit of sleep at one of those roadside rest areas in France, but not very much. Why did he just not find somewhere to stay, like a hotel or something? He's driving for... Is this Keegan...
I don't know.
I can do anything, so therefore I'll try.
I don't know. Look, I love Double K and I love this book, but there's something for me that doesn't quite add up.
Ooh.
Why would you take a kip at the side of the road? You're Kevin Keegan.
Exactly.
Go to a country hotel.
At the very worst, go to a motel. They're all over the place in France, I'm led to believe.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I did manage a little bit of sleep at one of those roadside rest areas in France, but not very much. My intention was to get my head down on the ferry. Instead, I sat next to a guy who recognised me, introduced himself as a Spurs fan, and soon we were involved in one of those football conversations that can go on longer than you anticipate. Big mistake here. Yeah. Didn't get disguised up for it, did
I? I know, really weird. Well, maybe these 7 years in the sunshine had made him complacent.
You'd have thought he would have dressed in the national costume of whichever country he was driving through, wouldn't you, in order to fit in.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Spanish one, he would have had like a sombrero on, or maybe
he would have dressed as a bullfighter, yeah.
Yeah, some castanets.
Then when I hit the French border, I pulled over in the middle of the Alps, just as I was about to cross the border, somewhere near Andorra, actually. And I changed into my stripy T-shirt, my beret, and my string of onions.
Strings of onions around my neck.
I got my baguette out. It weren't real. It were made of wax.
And then he's had a conversation with someone who says he's a Spurs fan on a ferry.
Sounds shit. One of
those football conversations that can go on longer than you anticipate.
Well,
any football conversation really is longer than it needs to be by definition.
Correct, yeah. Because it's boring.
Especially if you're Kevin Keegan.
I think if you're a footballer, fans coming up to you. I know fans, you get fucking annoying fans who are like, oh, mate, just was a massive fan. Oh, I've seen you. I've been coming to watch you for years. And it's absolutely great. Da, 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 da. And if they're anything other than, really, that's wonderful. Mm. Let's sit down and talk about your memories of watching me play football. Right? Unless they're like that, people get the amp and go, oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're
Billy,
a bit above talking about people like me, do you?
We're the ones that pay your wages.
Yeah.
Well, that's all bollocks, right? You know, why should they have to fucking... The thing is, it's so boring to talk to football fans. If you're a pro, I bet them coming up and going, so, who do you think's going to win the league then? I don't fucking know. What do I care? I don't want to talk about it.
You know, get me on TV as a pundit or something.
Pay me.
Pay me, yeah.
Pay me now. How much cash you got on you? This would be me if I was a Premier League footballer and they came up and said, Hello, Sam. I love watching you play up front for West Ham and scoring every week, because that, in my mind, is part of this fantasy. And who do you think's going to win the World Cup? I go, I tell you what, mate, how much cash you got on you right now? I don't got much cash. I don't carry it these days. All right, well, get on your phone app and transfer money, PayPal. I'll give you my email address now. Once you can show me the digital receipt.
15 quid.
Right, 15 quid. And for 15 quid, I will just tell you the name of the country I think will win the World Cup. Nothing more. I will not elaborate. I will simply say, for instance, Brazil.
If you want reasons, it's 25.
There you go.
And this applies as well if Cunt has come up to us in the street and ask us about other podcasts. Like, what do you think of the Peter Crouch podcast? Show us the colour of your money and we'll talk all day about it.
Well, will
talk
you do,
all day. We'll talk for 5 minutes.
Will you do one of your catchphrases? Such as, you fucking do it.
Yeah.
I tell you what, mate.
Cup of drink.
Yeah. I tell you what. You fucking get on PayPal now.
Yeah.
Send me 15 quid.
Yeah.
Then you will hear me say that phrase. If not, well, you fucking do it. Oh, fuck, I've just said it.
Special offer 20 quid. You can have a catchphrase and an opinion about another podcast. Such as Peter Crouch.
How much to sing? Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. This is it. Right. Okay. Well, there you go, cunters. Think on.
Because the Iron Filing Society money, that pays for the podcasts.
Yeah.
That doesn't pay for any.
That doesn't
access.
Pay for Street Chat. Street if it's chat, Street no. Chat you want, then you've got to put your hand in your pocket for a little bit extra.
Start walking around with cash in your pocket.
Yeah.
Or make sure you're PayPal'd up. Where were we?
So he's got talking to a Spurs fan on the ferry. That hasn't gone too well.
No. Next thing I knew, we were docking at Dover and I hadn't managed to close my eyes once. I went through customs and then set off on the last 150 miles of a long, hard slog. I was happy to be back on English soil and relieved I had broken the back of the journey. Nice phrase, that, broken its back. When I got on the M25, everything started to catch up with me. It was getting dark, my eyes were beginning to close, and I was drifting over the white lines when that blaring horn jolted me awake. Jean had given me a pillow in case I needed a break. And though I was only an hour and a half from my destination, I knew it would be foolish to drive any further. So he pulls off the motorway at Rye Gate to find somewhere for a doze. He says, all I wanted to do was rest my eyes, freshen up, then get going again. The first lay-by was barely 200 yards from the motorway, with all the cars and heavy goods traffic rattling by and not exactly an ideal place to get some rest. So I drove a little further to a country lane. It felt safe enough. Spoiler alert.
Safe enough.
It wasn't safe enough. I pushed down the locks, propped my pillow against the window, and before long I was out for the count. The only way I can describe what happened next is that it felt like a dream. Or a nightmare.
Which is a bad version of a dream.
Until the taste of blood in my mouth told me I was very much awake and in serious trouble. This, of course, is the memorable assault, which was highly publicised at the time. There's been speculation about the assault.
That's why I'm saying things don't add up.
Are you prepared to speculate further?
No, I'm not actually, because I choose not to believe the speculation. I'm just saying the reason there is speculation is that it does seem peculiar that he would pull over in a country lane after a long drive, being Kevin Keegan, and then be woken up by people beating you up on the roadside.
Well, as he said, his Range Rover was full of all of his possessions.
So but if I walk past a car,
charter.
Yeah. So if I walk past a car and
it's
I looked,
sleeping
and
hero in it.
I saw lots of expensive goods, and then I saw the driver was asleep, and then I went to take a good look at the driver, and I saw it was Kevin Keegan.
You walk on.
I would still consider robbing the car, but. Oh, I'm not going to do it because I'd think, well, I might be more likely to rob the car because I'd be thinking, well, this is Kevin Keegan. Yeah. He could have valuable England caps, original shirts signed by him because I'm sure he signed. I always sign all my own shirts. He could have all sorts of valuables. But what I wouldn't do if you're an efficient and professional robber is to just start smashing through the glass and beating him up straight away. What you ideally want in any situation like that is to just get away with minimum fuss. So
going through the back window,
let him sleep. Let him sleep. Try and get into the car without waking him. Take the stuff. If you do have to smash the window and wake him up, don't start beating him up. Smash the back window. Grab the stuff. Do a runner. That's it.
There's going to have to be some smashing. You can't just get into a 1991 Range Rover.
Yeah, true. All right. Well, just smash through. Smash through the back, like you say. Grab the back and do a runner.
Yeah. He's going to wake up. He's going to have at least 20 seconds of time where he adjusts to his surroundings.
Oh, what's going on? Where am I? Am I back in Hamburg?
Someone smashed my back door in.
Fred Leatherland, is that you?
Have you come for vengeance, finally? Oh, you've played a long game, Fred Leatherland. You've played a very long game.
Terry Mack! Oh, no, hang on.
Who are you? Initially, he says it was a rock that was hurled through the driver's window against the exact spot where my head was resting. So they chucked the fucking rock at his head through the glass. It was big enough to have killed me, and I was lucky my pillow was there to cushion the blow, saving me from serious injury. I could hear someone shouting, "Give us your wallet." But everything occurred so quickly, it was all a blur, and in my confused state, I was still thinking this couldn't really be happening. Things like this don't happen to Kevin Keegan. Things like this have never happened to Kevin Keegan.
No.
You know, think back, he had a teammate offer him some cheap meat. That was a good thing. He drove all the way to Germany and got his back fixed. That was a good thing.
He went into a morgue and played with dead bodies.
Set on a musical. Staged a musical.
That was a good thing.
That was a good thing.
He flew out of St. James's Park on a helicopter. That was a good thing.
The crowd. Yeah. That was a good thing. No bad things have ever happened until now. The first vicious blow from a baseball bat made it clear that no nightmare could be this realistic. There was glass everywhere and my assailant was swinging wildly as he laid into me through the shattered window. I'm beginning to be suspicious.
It just doesn't ring true. It just doesn't. Why would you smash through and start beating up Kevin Keegan, like, straight away?
Unless you think he's packing heat. He's got a gun in there.
Plus, I mean, Kevin Keegan is a... If you're a robber, right, and your agenda is just to get stuff, then I maintain that you're not... You don't want to... You want the threat of violence is one thing, but
you've
actually
got to hold the butt, haven't you,
engaging in violence is just pointless. It's a pointless waste of time. And it also means that if you get caught, you're not just getting nicked for theft, you're getting nicked for fucking GBH, which is a lot worse. So I don't know. Why did they come smashing through the window? It just seems pointless.
After 3 or 4 blows, I must have been close to unconsciousness, but in those awful moments, I still had enough sense to shift across to the middle of the car, making it harder to strike me with so much force.
Instinct took over. That's the sportsman in me.
Jalapeño.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
I could tell in the dark there was more than one person. I feared the worst when I heard another voice saying, "Get on with it."
Fucking hell.
This has become an attempted murder now.
Yeah.
Get on with it.
Kill him. Kill him. No one will miss him.
He's been off the English football scene for 8 years now. Kill him. It's time for him to die. Thank God he didn't. We wouldn't be doing this book otherwise.
Yeah.
As I tried to scramble clear, the baseball bat came through the window again. This time, my assailant had stopped taking wild swings and rammed the end of it straight into my mouth.
Oh.
Jesus.
Yeah, take that. Give him a ramming. Give him a mouth
face
ramming.
Face ramming.
Bosh. Oh, what'd you do that for?
He kept shouting that he wanted money, and I knew my only chance was to do as he said. I started scrabbling through my pockets to give him whatever I had. I flung my wallet at him and a fistful of notes, and then lay back, desperately hoping that would be enough. I'm lying back now.
I'm trying to relax.
My hope is that this ordeal has ended.
If I lie here perfectly still, perhaps you'll think I am dead. Oh, no, I shouldn't have said that.
And suddenly it was all over. As quickly as they arrived, they were gone.
TTFN.
Fucking hell. This is, right, okay. I was in a terrible state, blood pouring from my head, and something foolishly told me I should go after them. What? What's he going to do?
I think I'm going to chase him.
I'm going to run the cunts over. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to murder the cunts.
You'll rue the day you crossed double K.
It was, wasn't he? He was going to murder them.
Yeah. It was in that moment I decided I would murder them both.
I wasn't thinking straight, and my natural instinct was I couldn't let them get away with it. I put the key in the ignition and stuck the car into reverse, only for it to go into a skid. While the guy with the baseball...
Oh, well, spells!
While the guy with the baseball bat had been laying into me, his mates had slashed my tyres.
Ah, oh, fucking hell. Classic.
Is this what they do? The robbers? The southern robbers?
It's very, very smart idea, isn't it, to disable the car?
Yeah, because obviously they're going to think he's going to come after them and try and kill them.
They're thinking, it's double K we're dealing with here. Yeah. He's a resilient man. And he will definitely, you know, he's persistent too.
Yeah.
If his career in football has taught us anything, it's that Double K never gives up.
Giving him a good face ramming isn't going to be enough.
Won't be enough to put him off.
Him completely.
He won't be cowed that easily.
No.
We're going to have to slash his tyres.
Yeah, they've done right there. They had smashed the back window to pull out my suitcase and whatever else that they get their hands on. But at least I was alive. And when I staggered back to the roadside, trying to wave down the traffic... A passing motorist stopped to help. I was delirious with shock, babbling away in Spanish.
Imagine that. Imagine if you're the motorist. That's what I'd really love to
do. Senor Disendad,
driving along, you know, Radio 2's on.
Yeah.
You're listening to Steve Wright in the afternoon. Everything's great. Although, of course, Steve Wright would have been on Radio 1 back then.
Yeah, 1991 he will have been.
Perhaps you were listening to, who is it, Johnny Walker?
Jimmy Young or someone
Jimmy
like
Young.
That.
You're driving along. This is the sounds of BBC Radio 2. And here's Tapao with their new single. Oh, hang on a minute, darling. Who's that in the road? I don't know it. Is it Kevin Keegan? Pull over and see what he
Can't
wants.
Be. There's blood pouring from his face.
Donde est? Los Hospital. Por favor. Oh, he's talking. It's a Spaniard. He looks like Kevin Keegan, but he seems to be babbling in Spanish.
He must be a low level television personality. Oh,
dos cervezas. Oh heck!
Oh, it is Kevin Keegan. He said, "Oh heck!" Phone an ambulance.
This is worse when I fell off my bike on Superstars.
Oh, he hasn't mentioned that yet in the book, has he? I hope we get to that. Because timeline-wise, we're well beyond that.
He mentioned it at the beginning. Hasn't he said a bit about when people come up to me, all they ask about is either falling off my bike in Superstars. So he has made reference to it.
He hasn't gone into depth in it.
No.
Over though, which we need to.
Yeah. We need closure on that, yeah.
I must have looked a dreadful state, and when I got to the hospital, they told me I was fortunate in the extreme. I was escaping with only 8 stitches in my scalp. Jesus. This doesn't add up at all, does it? He's been fucking mouth rammed.
Yeah. What about your mouth, mate? Forgot about that getting rammed, didn't you?
That'll just when do
you...
it by itself, I imagine.
Yeah. Thing about mouth rammings is there's nothing the hospital can do. You just have to wait for it to naturally heal.
That's the mouth for you, self-healing. I'd lost count the number of times I'd been hit, and when I felt around my mouth, it was a pleasant surprise to find my teeth all seemed to be where they belonged. I knew I was lucky to be walking away. When the people who inflicted this unprovoked and vicious beating, and do not suggest that it was anything otherwise, were arrested and taken to court, it turned out they owed money to a drug dealer and thought I was an easy target. What they could never have imagined was that my wallet would be filled with pesetas. I doubt that currency was much use to them. Because what would you do in England if someone gave you a load of pesetas? You'd just throw it at the bin, wouldn't you?
Ah, this is useless, man.
Fucking foreign money. What's this?
Ah.
I've got to book a fucking holiday now. I have to rob someone else.
Throw it in the bush. I'm throwing that in the fucking river because that's just going to weigh me down.
You can go. You go to the post office or the bank and get it changed in English money.
Fuck that.
Off. What are you talking about?
Go,
your card.
Go to the Bureau de Change. There's no Bureau de Change round here.
What are you talking? What language is that you're talking? Jesus Christ.
Tear it up. Burn it.
He says, I doubt that currency was much use to them. And unless they were totally stupid, I am not sure they would have got too far using a credit card in the name of Kevin Keegan. He makes a good point.
Unless they're totally stupid.
He goes into more detail. The gang was from the New Haven area. Oh, it's the New Haven gang.
Oh, heard of them.
Don't fuck with the New Haven gang, do you? The New Haven gang up to their old tricks again.
Yeah, they're a gang of local robbers. They're a gang of local robbers well known for prowling country lanes.
Inspired by the doings of Dick Turpin.
Yeah, they prowl country lanes because that's where the pickings are richest. Rich pickings down the country lanes just
Haven.
Outside New Haven. You walk up and down there long enough, sooner or later, let me tell you, someone, and very often it's quite a big celebrity from the entertainment or sporting arenas, will pull over for their little kit. They've been on a long drive, and that's when we strike.
They get off that ferry. They've usually been having a conversation with a Spurs fan, so they haven't had any sleep.
They're bloody exhausted.
Sooner or later, they get to the New Haven lanes, and they pull up, and that's when we strike.
Like flies into our spider's web. We lure them into those lanes. Oh, and guess what? That Spurs fan on the ferry, he weren't a Spurs fan at all. He was one of us. We planted him there to tire you out with his endless football chat. It was all part of the plan. We've been tracking you since Andorra, my friend.
Remember when you signed for Southampton in 1980? That were all part of it as well. We played a very long game with you, Mr. Keegan.
It's all building up to this moment. So this mouth ramming.
Larry McMenemy, he gets his cut of this one.
We ran the mouth to stop you talking. Stop you talking to the police, you see. We disable the mouth. Then we slash the wheels. And that way we know we'll never get caught.
The youngest member of the gang, the one with the baseball bat, was only 18 years old. They were caught bragging about it in a pub. And the judge described it in his sentencing remarks as a disgraceful use of criminal violence against a defenceless individual. Fair enough. Three of them were given prison sentences, while a fourth member of the gang was spared because he turned Queen's evidence.
Oh.
Kevin says. He grass.
Does that mean he grass?
He's
yeah.
He grass. And told the police what had happened.
It's great the way they've rebranded grassing by involving the Queen in it. So you want me to grass? No. We want you to turn Queen's evidence. Wait, that's grassing, is it? No. That means that you are now working in the service of Her Majesty the Queen as one of her official legal team. Oh, that sounds fancy. Okay, do I get paid? No, you don't get paid, but she will give you immunity from going to prison. Oh, all right. That sounds much better than grassing my mates out. I work for the Queen.
You're like one of her butlers, really.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I think, speaking of grassing and that, close by to where I grew up, in a little place called Shiny Row near Sunderland, I drove through it a few weeks ago, and someone had spray painted on the outside of one of the houses, grass. Which, you know, you see that around a lot. They'd also spray painted on the front of the house, nonce.
Nonce?
Very rarely see the two together, spray painted on a
grass
house.
Grass and a nonce.
You either get a grass or a nonce, but this one was a nonce and a grass. So I'd like to know more about that story. Been cleaned up since then.
Oh, I've got a story about a mate who had a terrible word spray painted on his house, but I don't think I can tell it. It's too bad. But yeah, it wasn't. He came back from holiday as well, and what was bad was he hadn't been on holiday. Actually, he'd been 2 weeks away working out the country, and when he got and he lived in quite a nice well-to-do street, and when he got back from the holiday, he was in a taxi, and the taxi drove up, and taxi driver's going, "Which house is it, mate?" And he goes, "Oh, it's just that one at the end of the road." And the cabbie literally says, "What, that one with..." And it's a word I can't say. Spray painted on the outside.
That's in mince.
He's like, fucking hell.
The mince house.
Yeah.
It wasn't New Haven, was it?
No, it wasn't the New Haven area.
He says it wasn't easy coming to terms with what had happened. And horrific experience for Gene too. I was so traumatised at first, I wasn't even certain I wanted to move back from Spain after all. For the next few weeks, I kept getting calls from the police saying they'd found some of my items and asking me to drive back to Reigate to identify these possessions, my belt, my shorts, and some other bits and pieces as possible evidence.
That sounds a little bit this and that, doesn't it? A few other bits and pieces.
Yeah.
You're writing a book here. Tell us what you mean.
That said sounds belt and shorts. We need to know more.
I know, alarm bells.
Yeah.
A few bits and
they
pieces.
They nick alarm bells.
They nick me alarm bells, me butt plug, and me leather, and me and me gag. I had a special gag made up when I was in Spain with a pool ball.
Not a sex gag. It was a motivational gag.
Gene used to strap it on me when I needed to be creative with my ideas. Talking of that, has there been a single mention yet of his football theme park?
A little one, yeah.
Okay, we'll get on to that.
But the soccer circus.
Soccer circus.
Yeah.
That's something to look forward to in future episodes.
He says, I always like to have a positive outlook.
Yeah.
Agreed. But it was difficult in these times. Is this what England has become? I wondered.
Hang on a minute.
What exactly am I coming back to here?
I don't like the way this is going.
Well, I don't know. What was he saying? Is he saying something about New Haven?
Well, listen. You're victim of a random crime that could happen in any country if you're extremely unlucky.
To any retired footballer.
If you have pulled over by the roadside and this has happened to you, then you've been extremely unlucky and it's really unfortunate. And I understand it's traumatising for you personally. But I'm not a big fan at all in any situation of someone using the one experience they've had to judge society as a whole. Because it's
England.
It's stupid. Country. It's what ignorant people do. Yeah. Oh, this is what England's become, is it? Yeah. Everyone's mugging people in their cars down country lanes now, are they? No, you have been mugged down a country lane in your car, but England has not become an entire country of country lane muggings.
He says, it didn't help that the worst elements of the press were desperate to find some salacious spin.
Ooh.
Tabloid hacks were dispatched to find out if there was another reason why I was down some lover's lane. Ooh.
Mm.
He says, they never found anything, much to their disappointment, because there was nothing to find. But it wasn't for the lack of trying. It was typical of our red top press, John Pigface and his cohorts. And not the only time in my life, as I will explain later in this book.
Smells a bit fishy to me.
I discovered just how low they would stoop.
No.
What's that? Kagan's been down some lover's lane and he's been mouth rammed and they've took his shorts. There's got to be more to it than that. Get down there, comb the area. New Haven, you say? I've heard a lot of strange things go on in New Haven.
All right, the story writes itself. We've heard enough. Please do not tell me another word. You'll only interrupt my imagination. Oh, they were in a gag. Oh, don't worry. Don't tell me.
A motivational gag, he says.
No.
Oh, shit.
Bet he was motivated. What happened to his butt plug? Did they take that? Hold the fucking front page, gaffer.
His belt, was it round his neck?
Mm.
What was that about?
Oh, were his assailants black? Oh, I bet they were. Oh, gaffer, I've got
Asylum
a great
seekers.
Story. Foreign, were they? He was speaking Spanish. Oh, my God, it gets better.
Asylum seeker bum assault.
On national treasure. National treasure mouth rammed by an asylum bastard. Oh, the headline's already forming in my head.
The only thing that could be better than this would be a newsreader getting shot outside her house. But that'll never happen.
Oh, was there any dolly birds there? Then we can get them in the pictures.
How old's the kid they've arrested? 18?
Oh! Oh, was it a bird? Maybe he's got a girlfriend or a sister we can take a photo of.
How old is she? She's legal.
John Bigface, New Haven correspondent.
This could get me a job on The Sun.
So I'm going all the way to Fleet Street with this one.
We'll leave it there, I think, with
Kevin
bleeding from the mouth in New Haven and John Pigface on the trail.
Yeah.
I don't think we've got through very much of chapter 10 there.
Good. That's as it should be.
Yeah, we'll get up about 75 episodes now, I reckon.
Yeah.
But that's what people want, isn't it?
Of course it is.
And if they don't,
Fuck
There's
off.
Nowhere to go. Exactly.
Bye then, everyone. Love you. Bye.
Ta-da.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.